T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Broadcasting live from the Wisconsin State Fair. We're inside the Goose Island Ale House again today. We will be the remainder of the week as well. Welcome to the program. I'm Bill Michaels. Nick Bode producing the show again today. Radio Joe Zinzola up in Green Bay as the Packers and the Texans back on the practice field. And maybe today they will be fight-free. Yesterday you had a skirmish breakout, and Matt LaFleur kind of smiling. Remember, Matt LaFleur had said the entire time that fighting will not be tolerated, a zero-tolerance policy, and yesterday had that smirk on his. He knew there was going to be some type of tension or tenacity between these two teams that would boil over at some point, and sure enough, it did yesterday almost right away. And in doing so, Matt LaFleur found out about his guys kind of sticking up for one another and the fact that he would stick up for them, and even though he would have to do it slowly because of his ankle and the Achilles issue. But nevertheless, yesterday they got into a little bit of a fisticuffs at practice. It all settled down. And then the Packers got back to business along with the Houston Texans. They prepare for Thursday night's opener, for the preseason opener, at Lambeau Field. 7 o'clock will be kickoff from Lambeau Field. Reminder, we are back again this year. It is the Green and Gold postgame show. Yours truly, and also Gary Ellerson alongside yet again. We will see you over at Hinterland coming up on Thursday night after the ball game, and really looking forward to it and kind of getting back in the saddle and getting back into Packers football, although I'm still a fan, and I'm going to hang on like grim death this summer, but still a fan of what we do and how we do it and go about our business, and look forward to kind of interacting with you fans all season long. So we're back again this year with the Green and Gold postgame show, and can't wait. The Packers and Texans with that joint practice in the fights. Now the question is, will they flare up again today? I don't think you're going to see the same kind of I don't want to call it tension, if you will, but the tenacity or the veracity with which they went after one another. Guys still want to make a name for themselves. Guys still want to prove something. Some guys have to prove something, so they're going to go a little more full bore. But I think both coaches made it known yesterday. We kind of looked over the fence. We winked and nodded and said no fighting, and we saw our guys go after one another. What the Texans saw was their particular player take a little bit of a cheap shot at Jake Sensburger, and then we saw the Packers not necessarily retaliate but stick up for their guy. So you've got Matt LaFleur going, okay, this was good. Even though he didn't want to see it, he wanted to see it, and he got exactly what he was hoping for, and that was a team that bonded together. He talked about his guys all being there and his guys sticking up for one another and his guys being a tight-knit group. So good things came out of Packers camp. Then you've got good things coming out of Pittsburgh last night as the Brewers get a win. They hung on to get a win. I mean, the bad news is Zach Davies going to the 10-day IL. Williams and Faria are now coming up, but Davies going to the 10-day IL, and yet another starting pitcher going down for the Milwaukee Brewers. It has just been a horrific rash of injuries that have taken a toll on its team, and they just can't seem to get it right. Today, a big day. Speaking of the Brewers, because today we're going to talk with David Stearns, Brewers general manager. He's coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes from right now. The Brewers general manager is going to be joining us, so if you've got a question for him, please feel free to do so. Yesterday, we had our cigar dinner out at Ironwood Golf Course, compliments to Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. We had a blast, and there were questions as they have become more and more popular about this Milwaukee Bucks team. So what I did was last night, I kind of wrote down some of the questions about this team, and today we have their general manager, John Horst, will join us coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. So stay tuned for that, because we're going to talk with him about this offseason, what his thoughts are regarding the Eastern Conference and the shift from the East to the West for some of these bigger name players, and where his team stands right now when he starts to think about the postseason and next year. And we're also going to reminisce about what happened to them specifically this past postseason. So we'll get into that discussion too. The phone number, 855-830-8648. That's on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockeyTalkLine. If you want to get a hold of us, that's the way to do so. You can hit me up on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can go to Facebook.com and get a hold of us as well. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow, and then just look for the blue check mark. There's the old-fashioned way, which is email, the Wendy's email, fresh, never frozen inbox, BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. You got the website, which is just simply BillMichaelsSports.com, and don't forget, follow us and download the Radio.com app, and that's a way to take us everywhere. As a matter of fact, thanks to some people listening to us in Idaho, who I saw last night on the Facebook fan page, a couple people in the Northwoods that said, and by the way, we're going to be hopefully coming back to the Northwoods real soon, but for those that aren't getting us in the Northwoods, go ahead and download the Radio.com app if you haven't already, and get a listen in on that particular vantage point. Also, we want to say thanks to our friends at Cousin Subs, who've been grilling it up for 45 years. Cousins bring you the program, and Cousin Subs, they have catering. They have 45 years worth of grilling them up, and they have 45 years worth of serving parties. Make sure you check out CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. That's where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Packers and Texans back at joint practice, and you had the fight yesterday. But I think the biggest story really to come out of Packers training camp, and I think I'd be agreed with by 90% of you out there, was not necessarily the Green Bay Packers or the fight, but more so the return of J.J. Watt back to the state of Wisconsin. I think a guy breaking a bicycle seat has never been covered as much in the history of bicycles. Unless it happened on, say, I don't know, the Tour de France, and a guy fell off his bike because his seat broke as he was approaching the finish line. Other than that, I don't know any other person in the history of bicycling that has ever gotten as much coverage out of a broken seat as J.J. Watt did. But I said last night, J.J. Watt grew up in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, and played extremely well for the Pewaukee Pirates, goes into Wisconsin and becomes a fan favorite, and Wisconsin loves him. He goes down to Houston, and in 2014, Hurricane Harvey comes passing, and he not only plays extremely well and becomes a fan favorite there, but then he goes on Twitter and Instagram and raises $42 million for hurricane relief. And not only the state of Texas and Houston and such fall in love with him, but most of America did as well. And I remember going back when we happened to catch up with him at the Super Bowl some years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we had a chance to chat then. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was when he said, because I had said to him at the time, because he was the only guy left on the field at the Pro Bowl, and there had to be 5,000 people screaming his name, still hanging out in the stadium. And I had said, when did you become a rock star? And we got talking, and he ended up saying, you know what, you soak it in right now, because someday they're not going to be yelling your name anymore. Someday you're not going to be a rock star anymore. You just have to enjoy it, and it was one of the most humble statements from a guy who had rocketed to stardom that I can remember in a long time. And he meant it. You could just, as I'm standing here, today, he was 2 feet from me, and I'm looking into the guy's eyes as we're doing this interview, and we're talking about this. And so then you see yesterday when he returns home, and he talks about Spotted Cow and Culver's, and talks about, you know, returning to Wisconsin. And he just does it with such a genuineness, if that's a word, that you can't help but just enjoy listening to him and the little things. And it's not so much that you're sitting there going, he's a Wisconsinite. No, you're sitting there listening to him going, he's one of us. It's not Wisconsinite, okay, because there tends to be a line drawn where Wisconsin owns him. Wisconsin doesn't own him, okay? His heart's here. We all know that. But Wisconsin doesn't own him. It's kind of people mass in general. And that's the reason there's this level of likability. That's this level of commonness. He's humble. He's faithful. He remembers where he came from. He appreciates where he's at. And that's the reason I think so many people just enjoy the way he goes about his business. I mean, at one point he was even being criticized for being too nice and too humble, if that can be a thing. You know what I mean? But all in all, J.J. Watt was certainly the story yesterday at Packers training camp. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do so. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live out here at the Goose Island Ale House and kind of just enjoying our day at the fair. The clouds are starting to part. The sun is starting to come out, and it should be a fun day. Come on by and say hi. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. Don't forget, we got coming up here at the bottom of the hour, John Horst, the Bucks general manager. He's going to be joining us. And then in about an hour and I don't know, about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes from right now, David Stearns, the Brewers general manager, is going to be joining us as well. Stay tuned. We got more right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are here today. Thanks for taking a listen to us. We are broadcasting live at the Goose Island Ale House right next to the Budweiser Pavilion here at the Wisconsin State Fair. And we're here the rest of the week as well. So come on by and say hi. Hey, it's Quick Trip Day today. Quick Trip is here. And I posted it over on the Instagram page a little while ago. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I don't even know what my Instagram account is, to be honest with you. You'd have to track it down. But yeah, they're giving away a truck. And they've got the truck here today. So I guess the idea is to go over and do the bag toss or whatever it is. And you do it so many times, you get registered to win the truck, which is going to be given away here at, I believe, a Packers game. They're going to give that thing away. So anyway, Quick Trip Day today, one of our big sponsors. So thanks to Quick Trip, and glad that they are here. Had a good time last night with our friends from Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery as we did the cigar dinner out at Ironwood Golf Course. Man, what a spectacular venue Ironwood Golf Course is. Mike Lehman, the general manager out there, Mike puts on such a great show, so to speak. The course was impeccable. The food from Bunzel's was fantastic last night. So thanks to everybody that came out. Everybody walked away with something. I mean, it was they were giving away everything from humidors and ashtrays and cigars and giving away all kinds of tickets and it was a lot of fun. So thanks to everybody for coming out last night and enjoying the night. And we are going to be at Loopy's High Shore Supper Club a week from Thursday. A week from this Thursday. And if you don't have your tickets yet, I know that one is selling quick and it just about sold out. So Loopy's High Shore in Chippewa Falls, that's our next appearance. Going to be a week from Thursday night. We're going to be out there. So if you don't have your tickets yet, go to TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. And it's right there on the front page, TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. We're coming to the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area. I'll be up there next week. Going to be there for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. Going to be at Wild Ridge Golf Course. And then going to head over to Loopy's. And then from there, we're going to have the Green and Gold postgame show out there that night. So make sure you come by and say hello. All the prices, everything right there. You get dinner, you get drinks, you get raffle tickets, cigars. You don't even have to smoke cigars to go. I always say that. And just come on by and say hi, because we would love to have you out there, share stories and jokes and laugh. And we had so much fun last night, so hope to see you out there at Loopy's High Shore. 855-830-8648. When I was talking about J.J. Watt, this is what I mean about J.J. When you talk about the hometown stuff, when you talk about where he came from, the humbleness, what he remembers, this is what he had to say about curds and Culver's and Spotted Cow. Take a listen.
It's delicious. It's nutritious. It cures a lot of things. I mean, it's just great. I think a lot of it's just the nostalgic factor. I mean, when you come home, everybody knows, wherever your home, whenever your home is, wherever you come from, there's something there that you like. And for me, it's cheese curds, it's Culver's custard, it's Spotted Cow. It's just a Friday fish fry with some potato pancakes. I mean, I was pissed when I found out we were leaving right after the game. We couldn't stay for Friday. So it's just home cooking. It's just the people that you love. It's the atmosphere, and I mean, this is where I grew up, and these are the people that I grew up around, so it feels good to be around this group. It feels good. I mean, the people here, obviously, very grateful for the reception and the way that they treat me here and the amount of love and support that they've shown for me. I mean, like I said last week, you know, I stood outside of those fences, and I watched practice through the fence, and I watch the bikes be ridden, and I stood over by the players' parking lot and tried to get autographs. So it's a pretty special thing. It's pretty unique. It's pretty cool. I literally dreamt about this as a kid. So to be able to practice on these fields that I watched Brett Favre practice on, there's not going to be too many days like this in my career. So I'm very thankful and grateful that I got to have it.
And you know what's interesting is people in Houston. Now, if you had somebody from Green Bay, now they're not a rival, but if you know, Houston isn't, but if you had somebody from Green Bay that went, say, to Dallas. Now, Dallas has been kind of a rival over the year, but if they went to Dallas and they're standing there at AT&T Stadium and they talk about the old Texas Stadium and Landry and, you know, Dandy Don Meredith, and you start going through the history of what that field was and what that organization is, and just they know it, and they play for the Packers, but they're from Dallas. Or even say, like, let's take it to a different extent. Say Pittsburgh, okay? To know the Steel Curtain and Terry Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green and Rocky Blyer's story coming out of Vietnam and getting into not one, not two, but four Super Bowls. And you start to go through all of that, you gain an appreciation for that person. J.J. Watt was praised in the Houston Chronicle. I don't know if you happen to read it. Praised in the Houston Chronicle for knowing his roots but being faithful to the Houston Texans and working himself back after some really tough injuries to come back and play, and really wants to live up to his contract and wants to play better, wants to be an MVP. And, I mean, saying that normally for any other fan base would just make you mad. But people in Houston are like, right on. That guy knows the history. He knows his roots. He knows where he came from. I mean, you go through. It's just one of those things where you kind of go, that guy just, that you can't help but like that guy. You know what I mean? You just can't help but like that guy. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Milhockey Talk Line. This one's from Jim. Jim writes, hey, guys, as much as I love talking about J.J. Watt, what do you think about the offense of the Green Bay Packers? A buddy of mine was at the cigar dinner last night, and he said that you weren't really high on it. Look, here's the honest truth, okay? And I have never wavered from this. When I'm asked about what the Packers offensively are going to do, I never get too high, okay? Because I think there's always potential. But I said last night, and I'll say it here, where did they get better? Now, think about that for a moment, because there's always a lot. I come into every football season extremely optimistic. I really do, because you can always just wipe the slate clean. Anything that was negative last year, injuries that were last year, that all gets kind of, you know, tossed to the wayside. So I ask you, where did they get better? Okay? So let's go through this. David Bakhtiari is still your left tackle. Lane Taylor is still your left guard. Corey Linsley is still your center. Brian Bulaga is still your right tackle. They got better, or a quote, upgraded, with their right guard, Billy Turner, the free agent out of Denver. Okay. In addition to that, they have a little bit better depth, I think. Cole Madison came back, and they're really high on him. You've still got guys like Spriggs and Patrick and Justin McCray. They did draft Elgton Jenkins, who can't play guard, can't play center. Okay, they think they're deeper now. Now, I'm not still high on Spriggs, and I'm not over the top on McCray or Lucas Patrick or anything, but I think that Cole Madison last year had potential. He just has to work himself back into that shape. And Elgton Jenkins is going to be there, and then obviously Justin McCray and Lucas Patrick. Spriggs is Spriggs. I haven't seen anything out of him that's going to make me go, wow, okay? So where did they get better? They drafted Jay Sternberger at the tight end position. They still have Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan. Okay, the same guys from last year. Aaron Rodgers is back, and he's healthy, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. We all know that. And then you have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and Trey Carson, Dexter Williams, who they picked up in the draft, the kid out of Notre Dame. Okay? And their wide receiving core is still the same. Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, Jay Kumerow, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who am I missing? Trevor Davis, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, if he ever figures out how to catch a pass. So you go through that list. Where did they get better? They weren't good last year. They were adequate, but you needed to be great if you were going to do anything. So where did they get better? Then I think, okay, was the scheme that bad and there was so much of a disconnect between what we had assumed was Aaron Rodgers and what he wanted to do, and Mike McCarthy and what he wanted to do, and the front office that was overlooking everything, waiting for something to go wrong to possibly or probably fire Mike McCarthy. Was that just a wasted year last year? So everybody comes back this year. Matt LaFleur's offense is the magic elixir, and everybody's happy and everybody's on the same page? Because if you believe it was just simply play calling, then yes, things have changed dramatically. But if you think it was personnel, if it was attitude, if it was the inability for receivers to get open, you know, as much as we want to talk about top three for Davante Adams, and that's what Aaron Rodgers said, my question then is, okay, does Davante Adams, the way Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr. or any one of these top wide receivers, does he make you as a defense account for where he is every moment of every day of every second? And not only do it with one, but two or three guys to make sure that he doesn't beat you. Has he ascended to that level? If not, he needs help. So now that's where Geronimo Allison comes in, or Jay Kumerow, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling, or you go through that list. So while I believe the defense has gotten better and there will be additional opportunities for this offense possibly to get the football, or more likely to get the football more often this season, have they gotten better to the point that they can do something with it once they get it? That's where my question lies. We'll talk more about this coming up here in just a little bit. But coming up next, let's turn our sights to some Bucks basketball. John Horst, the general manager for your Milwaukee Bucks, he is going to join us coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are here. We're getting ready to talk some Bucks basketball. Looking forward to talking with the general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks. John Horst is going to be joining us coming up here shortly. We are broadcasting live at the Goose Island Ale House right here next to the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, which is near the main mall area right across the street from the Cream Puff Building. Come on by, say hi. They got some good food. The Bud Spuds are fantastic. Goose Island always tapping some new kegs out here. And if you're going to listen to some music coming up a little bit later on today, they're going to have that out here as well. This the sun is coming out. The clouds are parting, and looks like the weather is all out of the way. The overnight weather moved along, and they had some wicked stuff out here yesterday. I didn't get like a severe thunderstorm warning or watch or anything like that. It was just heavy rains and some wind, and but nothing that was like awful. I had some lightning, obviously, but last night was just heavy rain, and there was a part of a tree that did come down here at the Wisconsin State Fair. But everybody's fine, everybody's safe, everything's cleaned up. The water just washes all the stuff away, and everybody's back and ready to go for the next day of the Wisconsin State Fair. So come on out and enjoy yourself. The Bucks, by the way, with the Milk House here, they always have their Milk House, and that's just down the down the road here from the Budweiser Pavilion. And talking Bucks basketball, the general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks on the line, John Horst, joining us. John, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, John, we share restaurants every now and then. I'm sitting there one night. I'm listening to a few of the people there inside your building, and they're talking, and they said that after the season, Giannis says, try to keep the band together because I will win you a championship. Did that make decisions for you very easy or difficult this offseason when you come to who you're going to keep, who you're not going to keep, and making personnel moves?
I think, personnel moves are never easy. And that's one of the things I'd said about, you know, what we were able to do this offseason might seem relatively easy when you just keep everyone. But the truth is that all of our guys were not only free agents, but highly sought after free agents. So they all had great markets, and teams around the league had great interest in them. And for us to be able to bring back Brooke and Chris and George, and then add guys like Wesley and Thanasis and Robin to our team throughout the course of the season, our course of the offseason, I think was really, really important for us. And so excited about the offseason, excited about the moves that we were able to make and keeping the guys that we were able to keep, and excited for the season.
So I want to go back to the series with the Raptors and basically what had become the dribble drive penetration. We're going to build a wall, slap on Giannis, and try to let somebody else beat us. How much of what you witnessed in those four straight games went into your decision-making process for personnel moves? Because it's very difficult to bring the band back when you just saw the band get a little bit stymied in one of their most important series in a long, long time.
Well, first of all, it sounds like you got Coach Nurse's game plan, like, literally in your back pocket, man. It's unbelievable.
I don't think it was that difficult. I mean, it was basically said, hey, we're gonna give Giannis his 25 and somebody else has to beat us. And it just didn't come to fruition. I mean, I think everybody kind of saw it. It's a shame that a lot of guys kind of went cold at the same time, you know?
Yeah, so to answer your question, I don't think that it would be responsible or smart to just say we're good enough and don't change anything and next year we'll have different results. You know, the goal is to constantly get better, improve on the year. You know, that was our goal going into the season last season. We wanted to improve on the year before where we'd lost to Boston in 7, and we did that. And we did that in some significant ways. Our goal going into this offseason is to figure out how we can improve on last year. And last year, although – you know, at the end of it, we lost in 6. You can look at it the other way and say that we were literally, you know, a call away or a shot away, a missed shot away from being in the NBA Finals, you know, and being up and having a commanding lead in that series where Toronto would have been almost impossible to come back and have to do something historic to come back. And so we were right there, but we didn't rest on that and say, hey, we were right there, we're not going to change anything. We tried to address needs. I think Wes Matthews is a guy that fits our mentality of let it fly. You know, his ability to shoot and his willingness to take shots at a high rate from deep is going to help us. Add a guy like Kyle Korver is a huge add for us. You know, Kyle's ability to make shots is really important. Maybe more important of that is having Kyle, when he's on the floor, the respect that he garners, just having to know where he's at is going to give our guys space. And Robin is a player that we thought that could help to our add to our inside toughness and defense. You know, somewhere where we thought when Brooke left the floor last year, we took a step back defensively at the backup center. We think that Robin can really help that. And just the athleticism and toughness that Thanasis is going to bring, is being a world-class athlete, you know, a guy that is a winner, that, you know, won back-to-back Greek titles, was the most spectacular player in the Greek League a season ago. And so, all those things, you know, we tried to do. We tried to address needs and gaps in what we saw in playing the Raptors and losing to the Raptors. We tried to address those things and position ourselves better this year to make the NBA Finals.
When you, how do I put this? When you look at guys like Eric Bledsoe, who had a pretty good postseason until it came time in the Toronto series to really shine. Middleton struggled in the Toronto series. I mean, the guy that really came back and helped you was Brogdon, and now he's no longer here. How difficult is it to look at those guys and go, you just got to get better because you've had that opportunity now a couple of times? I mean, they know they have to get better. They know they have to rise to the occasion. But now, how tough is it to just look at a guy and go, we got to get better, and the only way we're going to get better in that particular case is through you guys just getting better?
Absolutely. Internal development, I think, Bill, is going to be a big opportunity for us. It was a big opportunity at the end of the previous season, and I think it's another opportunity for us again going into this year. Giannis is a young superstar. You've got guys, you know, on our team with actual youth, and we have guys with experienced youth. And I think that being in a situation, you know, losing in a double overtime game in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, being on the brink of a NBA Finals berth, you grow from that. You develop from that. And every player that experienced that with us last year will be better in a similar situation next year or at the end of this coming season. And we hopefully added players to our roster that have been in those circumstances in different cases throughout the course of their careers previously that will add to that experience and add to that opportunity for us. So I think that is a big part of it. Internal development is a big part of it, and I do think that that's an opportunity for us, and I think that we have the right make of players, the right development coaches, the right culture, the right locker room to have that be an advantage for us. I think we will be better next year just because of the experiences we've had in the past.
Talking with Bucks General Manager John Horst, broadcasting live out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. John, what do you say to the fan? Okay, the postseason comes and goes. We're sitting there with all the different free agents that are out there, and everybody wants to see this team, this group of billionaires, spend that money, go over that luxury tax. This is it. Push all the chips to the table. You got to go for it. How tough is it as a general manager to not walk in to the offices and go, guys, can you just give me a lot of money? I mean, because you got fans that are clamoring for it. Everybody knows you're right on the cusp. You guys have to smell it inside that building, man. You know you're right there. How tough is it to balance all of that?
No, I think, listen, we do think we're right on the cusp. And thankfully, you know, for the city of Milwaukee, state of Wisconsin, for me as a basketball operations executive, for Bud as a coach, Giannis is a superstar of our team and our organization, we have an ownership group that, you know, it's clear that they're willing to invest any and all resources to make this a best-in-class sports franchise. Look at Fiserv Forum across the street from me, the best arena in the NBA. Look at the practice facility that I'm sitting in right now today, best practice facility. We resource our players. We resource this organization and staffing and financing and everything from top to bottom in a first-class way, and we'll stop at no expense to win an NBA championship. Just because they have a willingness and they've already shown that they're going to do that doesn't mean that we should just go spend every dollar we can to just spend it. We're going to spend it wisely. We're going to spend it intentionally and at the right times. And if that means paying a luxury tax payment to win a championship on a move that makes sense and that will get us there, then they'll do it. And they're committed to doing that, and we will do that. But I'm not going to ask them to spend money just to spend it. It's going to be intentional and in an intelligent way that actually helps move us forward. And thankfully, Bill, I think for them and for all of us, we feel like we've improved ourselves. We've positioned ourselves to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us and have a great run at this thing again this season. And at the current position, the current time, we're not a luxury tax team. And so that's not a reflection of willingness or non-willingness to pay. What that is that actually gives us an opportunity to be more creative and to be more transactional if needed throughout the course of the year because we're not hampered by having a luxury tax payment.
So what I think a lot of fans wanted to hear was that they're willing to do it when the necessary time comes forward. Now, the other contract we know eventually is going to get done is Giannis. Giannis wants to stay. He would not be a man of his word if he didn't. I think there's a love affair he has with the city of Milwaukee and state of Wisconsin and vice versa. So, John, at what point do we begin to expect a deal to be done, or at least if it hasn't started already, at what point does that begin with Giannis's agent?
Yeah, I think Giannis is not eligible for the extension until the end of basically a year from now, a little shorter of a year from now. And so when the time's appropriate, we'll start having those very detailed and specific conversations about that. But in the meantime, and I've said this before, we did this with Chris, we'll do this, we did this with Brooke, we've done it with Giannis, we'll continue to, and we try to do it with all of our guys. You know, one of my main jobs and Bud's main job here is to recruit from within. And we feel like we recruit every day and we sell every day to our guys in a genuine, sincere way in giving them a culture and environment for success, a family environment where they want their kids to be or significant others to be part of, a team environment where they want to come to work every day and they enjoy work every day. They develop and they get better as professionals and players and people. And that's something we've been doing from the start, Bill, and something we're going to continue to do. And I think that's a big part of all of this is to recruit every day from within all of our players and Giannis is, as part of that. And when the time is appropriate to start talking about specifics of a contract extension, we'll do that and hopefully get a deal done.
When you look at the East, you look at Kawhi going to the West, Kyrie leaving Boston. Obviously, there's been a shakeup in Brooklyn, but Brooklyn's not going to get Kevin for a year. The time is right for your place to, you know, kind of keep the throne in the Eastern Conference. When you see all that movement, give me your thoughts on how the East has shaken out this offseason.
Yeah, I think the East over the last couple of years has progressively improved and gotten better, and I think this offseason, in my opinion, overall is another example of that. Kawhi has left, which presents an opportunity in itself, of course. LeBron left the year before, presented an opportunity. Those are the two maybe most noteworthy transactions that everyone can point to. But if you actually look at, I think, the youth in our conference, the overall talent in our conference, kind of, you know, Kyrie and Katie coming together, just different things that have happened, I still think the East is getting better. And I think that we're one of the top teams in the conference. And one of the things that we've said from the start is I don't want to, you know, be part of building a team or an organization that's opportunistic only and only picks certain years or certain opportunities based on other people or other circumstances. We want to build something that we can sustain success over a long period of time, have success in the right way, build a culture, build an organization and a program that's in the game year in and year out for a long period of time going forward. And having Giannis at the top of that as our superstar player and superstar person in the core that we've developed and retained underneath of him with Chris and Eric and Brooke, I think that we're going to be able to be in the right opportunity for a long period of time going forward.
John, I got one more for you. This may be a question for you and I going to having a beer sometime, but I wanted to get a question out because I had posted something on Twitter back when Kawhi was considering different teams, and you heard all these larger names wanting to go to different areas. Do agents and or players look at Milwaukee as now a destination, or is this something that you still have to, as you said, internally and externally recruit? Just because I think as a fan base, you want to be considered the best. Now you've got a superstar, an MVP, you've got an elite-level team, you're ascending in the right direction. You want to believe that you're near the top and that people are going to want to come here. And people still look at Milwaukee as, you know, it's kind of like a Siberia. And I'm like, look, hey, there's a lot of other places that are cold, too. We've got a lot to offer here. But you don't hear those players say, man, Milwaukee's that destination where if they could fit me in, I'd love to go there. Do you get calls? Do guys talk to you and say, hey, man, I think Milwaukee's starting to look to be the place that I would want to land?
Yeah, Bill, I mean, we could do it over like a root beer at the Bucks Milk House if you want. Root beer milk would be great.
I want to get you drunk and open up all your secrets, man. That's what I want.
I truly believe this. I've said this before. I think at the end of the day, most of the players in our league and even most of the superstars in our league, first and foremost, want to win and they want to enjoy coming to work every day. And they have just as good an opportunity, if not better, to do that in Milwaukee than they do anywhere else in the NBA, any other city, any other quote-unquote destination city. And so, you know, we can't change our weather. We can't change, you know, our market, but don't apologize for that. I think at the end of the day, I said it just a minute ago, we have a first-class organization that has the best-in-class arena, best-in-class practice facility, the best player in the NBA, the NBA's MVP. We have an all-star in Chris Middleton, the NBA Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer. We have an all-NBA defensive player in Eric Bledsoe, Brooke Lopez, who was historic last year in blocking shots and making threes, you know, at over two a game. First time in the history that a player's ever done that. And you put all those things together, they're great people, it's a great environment. Anyone who looks at us has to see that they have a great chance to win and win at an extremely high level, and they can enjoy coming to work every single day. And I think that that rules the day in our league. And because of that, I think we're going to be involved in every conversation that we want to be now and going forward.
I will buy the root beer, you buy the ice cream and the milk, and then we'll kind of go from there. John, it's always a pleasure chatting with you, pal. I appreciate it, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Talk soon.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. John Horst, general manager, your Milwaukee Bucks, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels' show continues on. We are broadcasting live from the Goose Island Ale House here at the Budweiser Pavilion. Tremendous stuff from our friend John Horst, who is the Bucks general manager. And I think a couple of things to take away from that. One is they really believe the first-class facility they have there and the team that they have and winning that they have, that, one, they will continue to seek interest or get interest from others outside of the building. And then inside of the building, I think he was very poignant in saying we recruit from within. Giannis is, as he put it, the key to our success. And they want to start working with Giannis at this time. Now, this time next year technically is when they can begin the discussion on a contract extension. But as he had kind of wink and a nod put it, we recruit from within every day. So you can only assume that they are working on Giannis right now and every day to keep him a Milwaukee Buck for a very, very long time. And he's right. Giannis is the key to their success, and they want to continue to build around him. I like the fact that he said we can't just sit back and look at last year and say, okay, we're just going to get better just because. But I did like the fact that he wanted to point out that this team needed some other pieces that fit Bud's system. And I thought that was a very key statement, not just going out and getting guys to get guys, but get guys that fit Bud's system, as he put it, the let-it-fly mode. So we'll talk more about that coming up here in just a little bit. But we are about a half an hour away, just a little bit more than that, actually. David Stearns, the Brewers general manager, we're going to be joined by him today. Coming up after the top of the hour, though, here in about 10 minutes, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com is going to be here. We're going to talk about the Brewers and the Pirates game one, get you ready for game two. Talk to the general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers here at the bottom of the next hour. Also a little bit later today, Brian Billick, the Super Bowl winning coach from the Baltimore Ravens, an NFL Network analyst. We're going to talk with him a little bit later on today as well. J.J. Watt, you're going to hear from. Jordy Nelson, right now going through his retirement press conference. You're going to hear that coming up in a little while. So a lot going on today as we continue to broadcast live out here at the Goose Island Ale House, right next to the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. Also, we'll hear some more reports from Mike Clemens up in Green Bay. We got a lot going on today, man. Busy, busy day. Busy day today. Looking forward to it. We're not done yet. We're just getting going. Hang in there with us. Certainly appreciate it. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Big blowout pre-owned bike sale going on right now. Make sure you stop out and tell Craig we said hi. They're also our landing spot for the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, our big units poker run, our motorcycle ride coming up on Sunday, September 1st. Going to get to tell you how to get registered for that also. Hang in there. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.